Okay, so we're beginning again, Tav Ayin Gimel Se'if Beis. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that Shose Beheseba Ve'eino Mevarech Acharav. You drink the kos. This is referring to the kos of Kiddush. You drink the kos Beheseba, reclining. We already spoke about the din. Let's say you drink kos Rishon Shelo Beheseba. So the Rambam writes that you could rely on the Rav Yah in that situation. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Brura, who's looking for Chumras, the Mishnah Brura says, you know what, it's better to make a condition at the beginning of the Seder that you will drink between cups 1 and 2 if you you'll drink between cups 1 and 2 if you do not do Haseba on cup 1. I remember my 11th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshua Kalish. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's actually a Jew who finishes Shas once a year, which is kind of impressive. Like, he does like 7.5 daf of Gemara every day. So Rabbi Kalish, one year came in right after Pesach. Actually, I'm not sure if he came into Yeshiva right after Pesach. I used to hear Shurim from him on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Also, he would say Shurim in the Shul right Davin. But he came in and he felt terrible. It's like, I mamish forgot a Mishnah Brura. He drank Kos Rishon without Haseba. And he's like, and I forgot that I'm supposed to make the Tanai at the beginning of the Seder. Like, you know, halavai, this should be my worst Avera. But I forgot to make the Tanai at the beginning of the Seder. But that's basically what the Mishnah Berurah says. Make the Tanai at the beginning of the Seder, so you drink without Haseba, so you will drink another Kos, and then you don't have to make a Brach on the Kos. Now, it says in the Mechaber, Eino Mevarech Acharav, that you don't recite a Bracha after Kos Rishon. You don't recite a Bracha Achron after Kos Rishon. The Mishnah Berurah comments in Se'if Katan Yud Aleph that there are two reasons not to recite the Bracha Achron after Kos Rishon. Reason number one is because it will be patterned with the Birkas HaMazon. The Birkas HaMazon at the end of the meal will exempt the Yayin. Reason number two is interesting. He says that reason number two is that you'll make a Bracha Acharona after all dalakosos. You recite Al HaGefen after cup number four, and since you recite Al HaGefen after cup number four, that exempts this this Kos Rishon. So interesting that he needs two reasons. Like, what's wrong with saying that Birkas HaMazon works for Kos Rishon? So many of the poskim say that it's not so pashut. You know, Yayin, we make a bracha on Yayin in the middle of a Seuda. Let's say I'm eating a bread meal, so I don't recite brachos on almost everything. But wine, because of its chashivas, I do recite a bracha. So then the Shalat HaSheilah, does the Birkas HaMazon at the end of the meal, does that work for the Yayin? And that's a big discussion in the poskim. And there are many poskim who assume in Simen Kuf Ayin Daled that Birkas HaMazon is not poter Yayin Lufnei HaSe'uda. So if the benching doesn't pater Yayin Lufnei HaSe'uda, so then you have to be Yotzei with the Al HaGefen after Kos Dalet. Of course, this creates another problem, because, you know, there could be 3.5 hours between Kos Rishon and the end of Kos Dalet. Can an Al HaGefen at the very end exempt Kos Rishon as well? So the answer apparently is yes. Apparently the answer is yes, because it doesn't, as long as you never say achdas from it, there isn't such a long break between each section, so the answer is yes, that it works. Okay, next, Se'if Gimel. Im yirtzeh lishtos kama kosos harshus biyado. If you want to drink a lot of cups, now for the mechaber, this means, let's say, between cup 1 and 2. You want to drink a lot, keep on going. I was once at a Seder with a distant cousin. For whatever the reason, we spent a Pesach in Toronto, and there was a distant cousin who was with us, and he had this wine that he really liked. And throughout the entire Haggadah, he keeps on refilling his cup and drinking it, refilling and drinking it. Now, what happens when you drink a lot of wine, you're probably not aware of this because you're a very chush of Jew and you probably have never noticed. When you drink a lot of wine, there's something called becoming inebriated. And when you become inebriated, It's a chiddush, no? It's the same feeling which you might be more accustomed to, like when you smoke pot. But much appreciated. But the basic idea is, the Mechaber says, yeah, you can drink as many cups as you want, however, mikol makom reili zar shelo lishtos bein kos rishon mesheni imlo letzarech gadol kedeshol yishtaker v'yimana milasas haseder kriyas hagadah. If you get drunk, you won't be able to do the seder and to say the hagadah properly. That's basically what the Mechaber assumes. Now, there's obviously, if the concern is shichrus, so such a concern is more appropriate between Kos Rishon and Kos Sheni for a number of reasons. First of all, the Iker mitzvah of the night is the mitzvah of the Haggadah, which you won't fulfill if you drink between Kos Rishon and Kos Sheni. Alternatively, the Gemara says that the Yayin Shemesocha Se'uda is not Meshaker. Wine that you drink in the middle of a meal doesn't make you drunk. So therefore, between cups 2 and 3, when you're Mosh Shulchan Orech, the wine won't make you drunk. I think it's actually true. I think if you drink wine or beer, any alcoholic beverage, with food, it doesn't go to you as quickly as when you drink it without food. I have to admit, on one occasion in my life, I exercised. I know that's a big chiddush. I went and I took a long jog in the heights. I went over the overbridge and I came back and I spent a good half an hour, 40 minutes exercising. I come back home and I'm really thirsty because that's what happens when you exercise for a while. So I take a beer out of the refrigerator and I drink the beer. Now, I have never felt as himmeldick, right? As heavenly as that moment. It's just one beer. Usually one beer doesn't get me drunk, no? The only reason why I got drunk in this case is because it was not b'sei chasa'uda. Ordinarily, when I drink beer, it's always b'sei chasa'uda. I think that's the halachic thing. There's also an element, I think, that when you're somewhat dehydrated, so the alcohol goes to your head much more, it's strongly not recommended to break a fast, for example, on whiskey or beer. Do I have to say these things, or these are Dram Shutim? Okay. I didn't hear you? Right. In driver's ed, they tell you about, again, they're talking about like with the percentage of blood alcohol, which is, I think, basically what this is about. Right. Okay. So now, so you're allowed to drink as many kosos as you like. The Mechaber says. The Mechaber is not worried about being mosif al hakosos. That's his shita. The Ramah, however, is worried about being mosif al hakosos. We mentioned that the Ramah's psak comes from the Sefer Rav Yah, and therefore, according to the Ramah, you should not drink additional kosos, because whenever you drink, you'll have to make a borei pri hagafen again, and it will appear that you have five kosos, not four kosos, etc. Now, what would emerge for the Mechaber is that the only reason not to drink between cup one and two is you might get drunk. Consequently, let's say you would want to drink grape juice between cup one and two, so call like a vote, no? And that would solve our issue of the Kiddush B'Makom Se'uda. No? Yesterday we discussed the question of many Achronim, that Kiddush has to be B'Makom Se'uda, and you can't have a long break between the Kiddush and the Se'uda. So what do you do? So we said that some say that you should cut your Haggadah short. I really did not like that. What do you mean you cut the Haggadah short? That's like the Iker Mitzvah is the Haggadah. Can't cut the Haggadah short. So some said, maybe take a teeny bit of karpas and, you know, break it up and, like, nibble on it throughout the meal. That's, like, highly unsatisfying. Also, that tiny little bit of karpas won't last that long. What you really could do is you keep on drinking wine. No? Not wine, I should say. Grape juice! If you keep on drinking wine, you get drunk. Keep on drinking grape juice. Ah, it's Nirakamosa Valakosos. So it could be in this situation, the Mishnah Brura's chumra of making this tanai at the beginning of the meal will end up as a kula, no? Because you think that you're going to drink between cups 1 and 2, so therefore, right, keep it going. And don't drink wine, you'll drink grape juice between cups 1 and 2. I don't know. It seems like that would be... it seems like that would be permitted. The reason why we don't eat between... could you eat between cups 1 and 2 to keep it going? We have this Kish Makum Se'uda issue. So you shouldn't have foods more than the Kazayas, because then you'll have to make a Bracha Achrona, and the Taisvis quotes from Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam that the Bracha on Karpas, the Bay Pri Adam on Karpas, goes from Morar. So if I make a bracha achrona after the karpas, so then I am in hatek, I'm severing the connection between the bracha the bracha rishona by pri hadoma and the bracha amara. Similarly, let's say I have other food, I have shahakol, you can have a yogurt at the beginning of the meal. Well, that would create a problem, because when you finish your yogurt, you have to make a brorei nefashos, and that brorei nefashos will be mafsik between the Bari Pri Adam of Karpas and the Bracha on Morar. So what could you do? So it seemed to me that I have an Eitzah for people who are not Machmir on Gebruchs, no? Which is, eat lots of cookies! Right? You have your matzah meal mizonos cookies. Eat cookies. That will be your Kiddush B'makom Se'uda, at least B'di'eved, no? Like many people, Shabbos morning, you have a Kiddush with cookies. So if you want to be Yossi Kiddush B'makom Se'uda, have cookies and keep on eating the cookies as much as you want. Just keep on going, keep on going. Aye, maybe the cookies is a bracha she'ena tzricha. So it's not bracha she'ena tzricha, because if it's a very sweet cookie, the Hamotzi of the meal won't exempt it bracha rishona either. Because a very sweet thing, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, it's definitely not possible b'kisnin. Right? So if it would definitely not be exempted b'socha se'uda, so I have two eitzes for solving. Again, I don't do either of these, although I'm always tempted to try this, like Kadesh Yishavah Tinokos, no? To make the Tanai before Kos Rishon and keep on drinking grape juice, or to eat cookies as the meal goes on, and that will solve your Kiddush B'makom Se'uda issue. Now, if you make a Al HaMichya after all your cookies, right, so it's not Menatek between the Bariya Pri HaAdama on the Karpas and the Bracha on Marar, but maybe that ended my Se'uda for Kiddush B'makom Se'uda purposes. So then what you should do is have in mind that the Kos Sheni is going to count as some sort of Kiddush to be Yotzei Kiddush B'makom Se'uda, or say that you're Yotzei Kiddush B'makom Se'uda just with the cookies. Be as it may, that might be a suggestion. What do you think of these ideas, sir? I'm curious, like, your father doesn't like nutty chumras, but I think he's entertained by them. So, I'm curious to hear what he would say about this, about these nutty chumras. Oh. Right, what, now that you've always gone to grandparents for Pesach. Wow. Oh, yes, have this discussion with him about the Kiddush B'makom Se'uda. We have 3 suggestions. One is crazier than the next, in my opinion. Actually, 4 suggestions. The simple answer is what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, that Kiddush B'makom Se'uda just means an unnecessary hefsek, and the way it's not unnecessary because you're saying the Haggadah the whole time. Okay, so what we have is, that was Tuf Ayin Gimel, Se'if Gimel, fine. Next, if Dalit, Mivin Lifnei Bal Habayis Ka'ara, Sheish Roshalosh Matzis Umarar, Vacharoses, Vikarpas, O Yarok. that you bring a Seder plate. The Seder plate has three matzahs. Let's pause. Three matzahs at the Seder plate. Is this Pasha Pshat in Judaism? Well, not so exactly, no? There are some Mefarshim who say that you end up, that you only bring two matzahs to the Seder. Right? This, I think, was standard Mahalach of Rishonei Sfarad. There are two opinions in the Tosfos in Ketzer Mevarchim about this. It could be that all you need is two matzos, and that would mean that you're really Yotzei Lechem Mishnah with 1.5 matzos, no? Because you have Yachatz at the beginning of the meal. So that means that by the time I'm making the Hamotzi, I don't have Lechem Mishnah anymore, because I only have 1.5 matzos. And that would mean that maybe there's a kiyum of Lechem Mishnah, even though they're not all Shalem. Which is reasonable, and many Rishonim hold this way. An alternative of this Mahalach is what the Rambam says. The Rambam writes that you have two matzahs at the Seder, but the Rambam never has Yachatz at the Seder. The idea of lechem she'onin ola dvarim harbe and ma darko she'oni beprusa, that's true, and oni usually eats a prusa. But when I experience my Seder, I'm not experiencing it as an oni. My Seder experience is more darecheiros, so therefore I do not have yachatz kihuzet. There's no yachatz in the Rambam. The standard mahalach that we know of is that you have three matzos at the Seder. No? You have a matzah for Lechem Mishnah. That's two matzos. And then you have another half a matzah for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah / Afikoyman. No? That's another mahalach. There's a fourth mahalach, which Rabbi Professor Sperber has in his book Minhagei Yisrael, which is that you have four matzos at the Seder. There's a Chuk Yaakov, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, who has this idea as well. They have four matzos at the Seder. And the Professor Sperber's argument is as follows. We learned in grade school that three matzos represents Kohen Levi Yisrael. However, there are people who don't know whether they're Kohanim, Levim, or Yisrael. They're Suffolk. They're Suffolk. So therefore, I need a fourth matzah for these people. I remember Rabbi J.J. Schachter once gave a shiur. He has like these classes for rabbis to teach them drush. So he basically explained that this is like a very significant idea in terms of chinuch. You don't want to ignore the sveikos. You have Kayin Levi Yisrael, gevaldik. But what about the people who don't fit in neatly? Leo HaSeder, bring that suffik matzah to the Seder. Bring it there. In fact, in some of the English books, they translate this idea, Safek. It would say S-A-U-F-E-K, Safek. Bring Safek to the table. Right? That's the whole idea of Chinuch. The idea of Chinuch is to raise the curiosity, to bring it to the table. Now, part of the idea of having the three matzahs and breaking one matzah might not be just this like fancy idea that you need Lechem Mishnah and you need the mitzvah of Achilas matzah from the Prusa. That's nice, but it could be there's a more fundamental idea. You know, every Yontiv I have a mitzvah of Seudas Yontiv. Every Shabbos I have a mitzvah of Seudas Shabbos. And the Seudah has to be nikba on Lechem Mishnah. That's the halacha, right? It's interesting, by the way. Tosfos points out at the beginning of Beitza that Lechem Mishnah is modeled after the Mun. No? We have Lechem Mishnah because on Friday the Mun fell double. How come I have Lechem Mishnah on Yontiv? Did the Mun fall double Erev Yontiv? Lechayre not, because the Mun is only falling double Erev Shabbos because Shavu Ishtachta Vayetze Ishmam Komo. Right? That's why the Mun. So l'chora, that's difficult. You shouldn't need Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov. Nonetheless, the practice developed that we have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif as well, no? There's another din that's based on the man. Right? The Pasuk says, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. And that tells me that you have Gimel Seudos on Shabbos. You have Shalosh Shudos. It's interesting that the way Judaism paskin the Shaila, we have Lecha Mishnah on Yontif, but we don't have Shalosh Shudos on Yontif, no? It seems to be somewhat problematic. Because if you really believe that we're equating Shabbos to Yontif, so then we should have Shalosh Shudos at Yontif as well. The Rambam sounds like he had Shalosh Shudos on Yontif. And that would be a consistent approach. But Lamaisa, we don't do that. And that's a question. The Drisha raises this question. Thinking of Hilchas Yontif. How come we have Lechem Mishnah, but we don't have Shalosh Shudos? So let's just go back to what we're up to. We have three matzahs. Why three matzahs? So it could be that every Yontif I have a mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. This Yontif I have another mitzvah called Achilas Matzah. The question is, does Achilas Matzah redefine the type of Lechem Mishnah that I need? Does it redefine the Seudas Yontif that I have, which would mandate 1.5 matzahs altogether? This is a new definition. It's a different type of Seuda. Or do I say that the Yontif of Pesach, the Yontif of Chag HaMatzahs, is a regular Yontif plus matzah? If it's a regular Yontif plus matzah, you need 2.5. If what we're saying is that we're redefining what Seuda means for this Yontif, then the Chaora, you don't need 2.5, then the Chaora, 1.5 would suffice. The Sheet of the Rambam, you have 2, and leaving out Yachatz is, it's just interesting, no? Sheet of the Rambam is really a very interesting Sheet. I don't know, it's part of Judaism. Okay, should we go on to Chevra?
Okay,
excellent. So that is the beginning of Sif Dala, that you bring a Ka'ara to the Baal HaBayis. You get an impression, by the way, that the Ka'ara is not on the table before Kiddush. Right? You're Mevi'in Lefnei Baal HaBayis a Ka'ara that has Gimel Matzahs Umara. You also get the impression that only the Baal HaBayis has the Gimel Matzahs in front of him. In recent times in Judaism, the practice has developed that everyone at the Seder, certainly every older person, every married individual, whatever it is, do you hear me? That everyone at the Seder has their own Gimel Matzahs in front of them. That's really against Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that the reason why everyone has the Matzahs in front of them is because the reason why everyone has the Matzahs in front of them is because our Matzahs are very thin. And therefore, there's not going to be enough for a kezayis from each matzah for everyone around the table unless everyone has their own matzahs in front of them. That's what Shlomo Zalman suggests. Of course, if you would have a beautiful Sephardic practice of thicker matzah, which is like basically like pita, no? Korech is really a shawarma. You have pita, or a lafa we could call it, a big pita. You have salad and you have meat, no? It's mamish a shawarma. We, for some reason, Ashkenazim eat cardboard from Pesach. It would be much better if we would eat geshmakas Friday matzos. There's a whole literature about whether we're yotze, whether an Ashkenazi is allowed to eat Sephardic matzos. The pashtus is absolutely, no? Ashkenazim just... Absolutely. In other words, Ashkenazim lost the tradition of how to make these softer matzos. But you can develop traditions by watching other people. The Sephardim know how to make these other types of matzos, so learn from them. And then Ashkenazi should have very tasty Sephardic matzos. Now it happens that one year a Sephardic friend of mine brought me some Sephardic matzah, and it was terrible. So I asked him, how come it's really bad? So he told me, oh, you really have to heat it up right before you eat it. Apparently they're very geschmack, but you just have to warm them up a little bit. I would say it tastes like a combination of bleach and it tastes really bad. The ordinary Sephardic matzahs, but apparently if you heat them up, so it tastes much better. Okay, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that you bring the kar to the Babayis, and on the kara there are gimel matzahs umarar, charoses karpas, or a different vegetable, and you have on the seder plate chometz omei melach. It's interesting that the Mechaber is saying, where the Ramah is adding into the Mechaber, that the vinegar or the salt water is on the Seder plate. Our practice is that we don't have the salt water on the Seder plate, no? Our practice is we just have it on the table, not on the Seder plate. Okay. And you bring also Shnei Tavshilin. You bring two cooked dishes. One represents Pesach. The other represents the Chagiga, and our practice is that we bring basar and beitza, that we bring meat for the Korban Pesach, and we bring beitza, we bring an egg for the Korban Chagiga. The egg is, of course, round. It symbolizes avelus, like there's a galgal hachozer ba'olam, that people live and they die, things go around. That's why for a Sudas Havra'a, for an Avel, we give the Avel an egg, or lentils, or something. So we have two Tavshilim, one Zecher LaPesach, other Zecher LaChagiga, and the Avelus one is Zecher LaChagiga. Why is the Avelus one Zecher LaChagiga more than the Pesach one? I understand you want to have some indication of Avelus at Leil HaSeder, right? By the way, in the Atbash, the same night that the first night of Pesach is, the same day of the week, is of course the day of Tisha B'Av, no? The way our calendar is set up, right, if the first day of Pesach is on a Thursday, so Tisha B'Av will be on a Thursday, or whatever. Actually, it can't be, no? Lo Badu Pesach. You can't have Pesach on, six is Friday. I'm losing track of my math. Okay, but basically, how come the Avelos sign is on the Chagiga, not on the Pesach? So many Mefarshim explain that there's no real Avelos on Pesach. If we'd want to bring a Korban Pesach bizman hazeh, we could, no? There was a whole halachic literature about hakravas korbanos bizman hazeh, and no one meant all korbanos. They only meant a Korban Pesach. So Davar Pashat, if you read the Drishas Tzi on the Tzvi Hershkalasher, you read all the Sfarim of that time, even in the earliest source of this conversation, which is the Kaftar of Aferach, the Kaftar of Aferach talks about Gaonim, who would go up to Har HaZeisim and be Makriv a Korban Pesach. They're not being Makriv regular Karbanis. The Netziv explains in his Perush al HaTorah that the Gemara in Zvachim, the Mishnah in Zvachim writes that Reyach Nichoach is Ma'akev in the Korban. You have to shech the Korban l'shem Reyach l'shem Nichoach. After Korban Habayis, you can't have Reyach Nichoach anymore because the Pasuk in the Tochacha writes V'lo Ariach B'Reyach Nichoachem. That after Korban Habayis, there's no Reyach Nichoach. It happens that Korban Pesach doesn't require Reyach Nichoach, therefore Korban Pesach can be Makrev after the Korban. No other Korbanos can you be makriv after the Chorban. Therefore, the Korban Pesach does not really represent Avelos, because we're not lacking Korban Pesach because of Chorban Habayis, because we could bring a Korban Pesach, right, im tirtzu. If you want to bring Korban Pesach, you can. Korban Chagiga, that you can't bring. We can't bring Korban Chagiga anymore because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So that's why the symbol for the Korban Chagiga is the Avelos symbol, etc. Okay. Gevaldik. So we have all these things on the Seder plate. The vegetable, the charoses, the shnei tavshilin. We have all these things on the Seder plate. It happens that the shibolei haleket, right? I always thought, you know, there's like a feminist thing about you have an orange on the Seder plate? Ask your mother. I'm sure she knows this. Apparently Susanna Heschel once at a conference said something to the effect, and I'm pretty sure this is the Masorah, she said something to the context of that a woman rabbi, or someone said to her, a woman rabbi is the same as an orange on the Seder plate. So she, like Kayim Ritzono, she also tzaddik, she started putting an orange on the Seder plate. It's like a big feminist thing. It happens that if you look in the Rishonim, in the Shibalei Haleket, the Shibalei Haleket writes that you should have two tefshiyim, Zecher LePesach and Zecher LChagiga, but the minhag was that they had a third tafsha that they brought. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the Haggadah at all, so they needed a zecher from Moshe. They would say that the three tafshilin was zecher le Moshe, le Aharon, ule Miriam. No? Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. It seems to me that the more lomdisha mahalach, if you want to have a feminist contribution to the Seder, is you have gimel tavshilin. Zecher le Moshe, le Aharon, ule Miriam. No? And an orange isn't a tavshil. It has to be cooked.
Right.
So this is my contribution to Judaism. Okay. Maybe I'll have a greater contribution at some point in life. At this moment, this is my contribution in Judaism. Now, we have the extra tavshil. Excuse me, we have the extra food at the beginning of the Seder called karpas, because we dip the karpas into chometz or mei melach, kadesh yishalo atinokos. By the way, many of the svarim say that if you don't have chometz or mei melach, you should dip your karpas into yayin. And we do that, kadesh yishalo atinokos. Again, I'm a fan of doing some of these razzle-dazzle crazy ideas that the kids actually ask questions, because unfortunately, kids learn about the whole Haggadah in school. Although this year, this year it might be a real kiyum. Maybe the kids are actually going to ask questions because they haven't had school in weeks. Oh, gevaldik. Could be. It could be that's going to be the pshat, and we'll be mekayim a real seder this year because the kids won't, the kids will be able to ask real questions. Now, we do shnei tibulim at the seder, right? We're metabel the karpas and zaltzvaser when ein mal marin charesis. That's what we do. Beautiful. The problem is, and we ask about this in the Manishtana, no? In the Manishtana we ask, how come, right, you have Shnei Tibulim, Chola Leilos, Inu Matbilin, Afilu Pamachas, Inu Matbilin, Elo Pamachas, Halaylo Zeh, Shtei Pa'amim. No, I think the Alter Rebbe and his Siddur has a Girsa, Inu Matbilin, Afilu Pamachas. We don't dip at all. But they have their manuscripts?
Yeah.
I think that's actually a much more reasonable read. Again, many people are mitabel. People have dips at meals, but it's not like an essential thing in the meal. It's not something that everybody does. The gears of Inan Afilin Afilu Pamachas is more reasonable. By the way, the Alter Rebbe and the Siddur also has what we call question number 3. This question, whatever, the Alter Rebbe and Siddur has that as the first question. Which also makes a lot of sense, no? This, the way we have the first question, but 1 second, the tevila comes before the achila of matzah, no? Right? Now, it would make sense, according to that cheshbon, that mesubin should be the first question. That's actually the only weird thing that the kids saw already. Because at Kos Rishon of Kiddush, they are masiv, no? Now, the kid also already saw the karpas. So those two questions should be first and second, me'eza siba shehi, or be'eza seder shata rotzeh, those should be first and second, and the third question should be chametz u'matzah chora, no? Okay, but again, yesh la'ayin, there's a lot of literature. Richie Steiner has a very nice article about the different gersos in the Manishtana. It's something you might like, actually. You could probably find it on JSTOR. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to go and daven at the Kotel with his father, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Orbach. They would daven their Leil HaSeder. When he's a little boy, they're walking back from the Kotel Leil HaSeder to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld looks at the young Shlomo Zalman and he says, "Tell me, what's the answer to the third kasha?" No, we have an answer to the question of Chametz U'Matzah. We have an answer to the question of Sha'ar Yirakos Amorer. No? But what's the answer to the question of Matbilan? Where in the Haggadah? It's actually a thought-provoking question, no? Where in the Haggadah do we answer the question of Einan Matbilan? If you look in the Sefer Halichos Shlomo...
What hospital was I born in?
Is who born in?
Me.
You were born in Roosevelt Hospital on 58th Street. Now, if you look at the Sefer Halichos Shlomo on page 258, he tells a story. He says he's walking back with his father, Leo HaSeder, and what's it called? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld asks the young Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what's the answer to the third kasha? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman didn't know. Later on, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said he saw that L'chak Yaakov says that there's no answer. Which, of course, would enforce the idea that manishtan are not really questions, because questions require answers. It could be that manishtan are four statements of differences or distinctions between Leil HaSeder and other nights. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as a young boy, apparently was hurt by the fact that he didn't know the answer to this question. So when his father, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Auerbach, published the Sefer, he got a Haskama from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And in the Haskama of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, he writes some nusach to really be mechazik, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Auerbach. And he wrote something about how I know his son, who's mamish a yakir and a chassid, Shlomo Zalman. And the Yodim, the inner circle, say that the reason Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld included that line about a little boy in the Haskama to the Sefer is because he felt bad that he hurt the young Shlomo Zalman Auerbach by asking this kasha to him on Leil HaSeder, by asking the kasha of how do we answer question number three. Okay. Let's go weiter. So we have Shnei Tavshilin. One Zecher L'Korban Pesach, one Zecher L'Chagiga. The Rama writes that you should set up the Ka'ara in a way of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs. He quotes in the Maharil that the items that I'll use later in the Seder should be farther away. The items I use earlier should be closer to me. Because Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs. If I have an item that I'll use earlier in the Seder and it's farther away, that means I'll have to reach over a mitzvah item. And that's improper in the avirin al ha-mitzvos. Now, this already would require some visuals. I don't have them over here. But there are many different versions of the ka'ara. Now, if you look in the beginning of Rav Mendel Kasher is Haggadah Shleima. I think he has seven different versions of the Ka'ara. The main different versions, like the Arizal has his Ka'ara, which I think is more standard. There are different versions of the Ka'ara. Based on this Ramah, we could actually give Shi'urim. I've given this in the past. That the distinctions in the Seder HaKa'ara depend on which items at the Seder are a mitzvah and which items at the Seder are just a heker. There are some Rishonim, by the way. I believe the Or Zeruah has Klayos ve'egozim on the Seder plate. Right? We saw earlier, you give the kids candies. He'll have Klayos ve'egozim on the Seder plate. Now, is there a mitzvah to Klayos ve'egozim? L'chor, it's just a heker, no? It's just there in order to get the kids to ask questions. It's not really a mitzvah. If Klayos and Gozer are on the Seder plate, there should be no Isser of reaching over them. If that's the case, how come there's an Isser of reaching over the Karpas? The Ramaz Haggadah, the Ramaz says, set it up in a way, and he gives you the way that's set up, so that the Karpas is closest to you, so you don't reach over the Karpas. L'chaora, karpas is not a mitzvah. Were it to be a mitzvah, you'd have to eat a kazayas. The idea of karpas is only kadesh yish alu hatinokos, no? There's no mitzvah of karpas. So, one could, again, this is the type of thing you might like, because you're into different manuscripts. If you could find different versions of the Seder HaKa'ara, you apply this Maharil to it, you could end up with interesting conclusions about which items at the Seder are mitzvahs and which are just a heker. There are minhagim among yekes, among German Jews, that only the Baal HaBayis watches Orchatz. That makes sense, no? Because only the Baal HaBayis is going to dip it into the salt water. And then there are minhagim also among various German Jews, that only the Baal HaBayis eats karpas. So everyone sits around really starving until the meal, because only the Baal HaBayis eats karpas. That l'cha'or would be a genuine indication that karpas is not a mitzvah. Karpas is just a heker. The Rambam writes that you eat a kazayas of karpas, no? That would seem to imply that karpas is a full-fledged mitzvah. We could go through all of the din and say, is maror a mitzvah? The Shagas Aryeh in the famous Tshuva discusses the sheet of the Rush, that it's possible that maror does not really require a kazayas. The Rush is like a backwards Rush. He says, the fact that I make a bracha al achilas maror indicates that you need a kazayas. Meaning he's open to the possibility, and the Shagas Aryeh takes the ball and runs with it, he's open to the possibility that you do not need a kazayas for maror. That's also very interesting, no? What other items are there on the Seder plate? Matzah. Matzah l'chayr is a mitzvah, no? Charoses. Is charoses a mitzvah? The Tanna Reb Elazar Ben Tzaddik said that charoses is a mitzvah. That's a beferish mishnah in Arvei Psachim. Charoses is a mitzvah. You get an impression that according to that, they're two different... There's a discussion, there's a contradiction between the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam, what the Rambam has in the Yad, as to whether we pass Reb Elazar Ben Tzaddik, although if you look in the better versions of the Perish HaMishnah of Rambam, like in the Kafach version, the Rambam in his later years writes Ein Halacha Reb Tzaddik. In the earlier years, he wrote that the Halacha is like Reb Elazar Ben Tzaddik. In the later years, he changed it. That's not an uncommon thing. Then the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam makes some cross-outs and changes, no? Not so uncommon. There are different, better versions of the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam. That's like a longer conversation. L'chora, for us, karpas is a heker. If you hold like Reb Elazar Ben Tzaddik, the karpas is a real mitzvah, so you should have to eat a kazayas of karpas. There were Rishonim who ate a kazayas of charoses. Excuse me. There were Rishonim who ate charoses, ate a kazayas of charoses at the Seuda. That's razzle-dazzle, no? That seems to be like against mainstream Judaism, which is exactly why I am saying it. Okay. And there's a discussion over here in the Mishnah Berurah about, let's say, Leil Pesach is Friday night. Right? When Leil Pesach is Friday night, so they would not bring a... Excuse me, right? Right? When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos... So, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, not Leil Pesach Friday night, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so that's the difficult year, Erev Pesach on Shabbos, so those years they would not bring a Korban Chagiga. They couldn't. Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. Chagiga, discussion in Tanoim, we pass it's not Doicha Shabbos. So if the Chagiga is not Doicha Shabbos, so then do you have two Tavshilin on the Seder plate? If one is Eichel Pesach, one is Eichel Chagiga, in a year when you don't have a Korban Chagiga, you shouldn't have the egg on the Seder plate, no? Of course. Some say, no, you have the egg on the Seder plate. Because we're not making a Zecher for Chagiga this year. We're making a Zecher for Chagiga in general. This, of course, is totally in different versions in the Haggadah. In the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, we have a line, V'nochal sham min hazivachim u'min ha'psachim asher yagiyah domah malkir mizbachacha l'ratzoin. Right? We have min hazivachim u'psachim. Zvachim is the chagiga. Psachim is the Karban Pesach. You have chagiga before Pesach. There were nuskos, I believe the Shlach HaKadosh had this, and there are people earlier than him, had this idea that when it's Erev Pesach Shechal Yes B'Shabbos, you should have the text of Noch HaShem Min HaPsachim U'Min HaZivachim, that you switch the order, no? Ever saw this? Right? There are many people who switch the order when Erev Pesach Shechal Yes B'Shabbos. Why do they switch the order? Because this year we don't bring the Chagiga. L'cha'ora, that's totally in the two opinions that we have here in the Mishnah Berura. In the Mishnah Berura, Se'if Katyan Chaf Beis. And once our psak is that we always have a zecher l'chagiga, even when Erev Pesach is Chalias B'Shabbos, we always have zecher l'chagiga, so what should emerge is that we also do not change the text. And we should have the text, Enoch Hashem, Min HaZavachim, U'min HaPsachim, all years. Again, there's much more to say about this, but I think we decided we're also going to learn Gemara today. So let me just turn off the recording from Halacha, and then we'll move to Gemara, okay?